By now, most of us have been impacted by COVID-19 in some way. We know someone who has it, had it, or died from it. Like many of you, I dread that each day will bring news of another person I know who is sick or has passed away. My hometown of Detroit is a hotspot where more than 8,000 confirmed cases have been totaled and more than 740 deaths reported in the city. It's an overwhelming process for us to imagine so much loss. I am joined now by Candace Fortman, a fellow Detroiter and chief of engagement and operations at Outlier Media, who, like me, is just trying to make sense of it all. Welcome.
Thank you.
So, Candace, one thing about Detroit, it's a major city, but it feels like a town. It's a place where there's truly 6 degrees of separation. I feel it all the way here in California, and I bet you can really feel it now more than ever during this pandemic.
Absolutely. I always say that Detroit is like living in a small southern town in so many ways. You can thank the legacy of GM and Ford bringing so many people here from the south. And in that way, our communities are so interconnected. And while it is a massive city in actual spacing, everyone knows everybody somehow through church, through schools, through social clubs, through working at the plant together. We become a family in a very real sense. And so we're right now watching our family suffer, and that is the entire city right now.
Yeah. I'm hearing about longtime elders of my childhood church who have passed, childhood neighbors, old friends are now sick. It's actually a lot for me to process, especially being so far away from home. And you're in the thick of it all. How are you coping?
I am very fortunate, I think, in one way that I feel really grateful to be able to do work that actually helps to inform people and as much as we can right now help to keep them safe. So I find a lot of solace in being able to do that. You know, reaching out to friends daily is helpful, but I'll be really transparent when I tell you that at some point every day, I don't know how I'm going to cope in that second. Every day has brought news about someone that I know or someone that I don't know, but feels like we're losing fabric and pieces of our city. Threads are being torn apart from us. And each one of those deaths, every time I watch that number tick up every day, feels personal. And it's, I'll tell you, some days, some moments harder than others. But I'm so sorry. I know I talk to my friends all the time that are not here. And I know that being here is hard, but not being here is harder. Because you have family here, you have friends here, and even though we can't touch each other, there is something I'll tell you about looking out and seeing my neighbors' houses, being able to drive down 96, being able to drive down Schoolcraft, to be able to look in on people, just see their houses, that comforts me. And so I send you so much love because I know that that is difficult.
I saw your post about the death of Skylar Herbert. She was 5 years old, the first Michigan child to pass away from COVID-19.
Yeah. Skylar happens to be the friend of my niece. And yesterday her dad, my niece's dad, sent me a ton of pictures of the two of them together. And I knew that I would be talking to you today, and so I asked him to share with me what he loved about Skylar. And he said she was the kind of little girl that when she saw you, she would run up to you so fast and so hard, she would almost knock you over because she didn't know any strangers. She loved everybody. And that her joy was contagious. And the idea that he would have to, at some point, explain to his daughter that her friend was gone was heartbreaking. They had been exchanging voice messages. Their parents, of course, were doing it while Skylar was in the hospital. Hmm. And those messages are going to not come. And Skylar is difficult, but so are the many elders that we are losing. You know, elders hold for you the wisdom and the spirit and the soul of your city. And we are losing them every single day. And that means that when we come on the other side of this, we're going to be different.
You know, you mentioned the fabric of the city is being torn apart, and it made me think about when I first moved away from home for college. I had a friend who would joke with me that every other word from me was Detroit. And I would always joke and say, it's the spirit of Detroit in me. Yeah. And so when we've been talking about Detroit making a comeback for decades now, truly in the last 5 years after the city filed for bankruptcy, we were actually seeing that comeback. We were actually seeing it in the city rebuilding. And a significant number of those who have died were part of that rebuilding. And it just shows the viciousness of this virus. But can you talk about the impact on this city? Do you feel like it's a setback?
It is certainly a financial setback, but because people matter more than money, the loss of human beings, the loss of creativity, of creative minds, of business minds, of people who thought deeply about equity, and how we could not just be a city that's on the comeback for some, but a city that is a comeback city for all, how we could be a new model for how you grow a city with all of your residents at the forefront. A lot of the folks who were instrumental in that thinking, I think of someone like Marlo Stoudemire.
And tell us who Marlo is.
Marlo was, I think, like a quintessential Detroit character to me. He was the kind of person that people called in when they wanted to connect in a real way to Detroiters. He was a consultant for many organizations, including the NHL. And he talked about diversity and engagement in a way that was authentic to Detroiters. And he knew almost everybody, and almost everybody knew him. And he spent his time and talents helping this city be a better place, and not just for the folks with the most money, but for folks that, like the people he grew up with, like the people I grew up with, that are often ignored when we talk about how do you develop and grow a city. Mm. He lost his battle with COVID very early in what feels like a lifetime now, in this month and a half shutdown. When you look at the amount of people who have honored him across the world, right, you can see his impact. It was bigger than Detroit. He brought Detroit everywhere he went, and I think that's the best part about Detroiters, right? Mm-hmm. No matter where we go, mm-hmm. Detroit is with us, and we bring it with us because we're proud of this place that so many people find no value in, we know is more valuable than gold.
Mm. Is that what's going to be what keeps us moving, what keeps Detroit moving and keeps Detroiters going? I mean, what's your message really to fellow Detroiters who are also mourning right now?
So the other day, my friends and I, like many friends across the country, were watching the Babyface and Teddy Riley battle on Instagram. And in the middle, I was watching it on Zoom with a bunch of friends here in the city. And we, of course, were not together, but there we all were. And at some point, somebody started ballroom dancing, which for those of you who don't know, ballroom hustling in this city is almost a religion. It happens a lot. And to see that, like this moment, like no matter what is happening, we're our culture is here. We're still together, right? We are in our separate homes, but I feel them. I feel their sadness. I feel their losses. I also feel their hope and their joy for the future. We might not be able to hug. We might not be able to stand next to each other. But like we always have in this city, we are in this together. Nothing stops Detroit. When we say that, we mean it.
That's Candace Fortman, Detroiter and Chief of Engagement and Operations at Outlier Media. Candace, I'm sending you a big hug. Thank you so much.
Thank you so much. I really do appreciate it.